find yourself often straying beyond the beaten path? Are you always curious about what is just around the bend or behind an outcropping of unusual rocks? Well then, welcome fellow wanderer to the first ever podcast of Feathers and Bones, a blog and podcast dedicated to discussing all things lost and found in Mother Nature's kitchen sink. I am your host, Junie Jen, and this is my fellow wander woman, Christine. Okay, we're going to begin with a brief introductions about ourselves. I am a mom to two beautiful 20-something daughters, and I'm also a dancer, an artist, and a yoga instructor, but mostly I just am a consummate wanderer.
All right, I am a mother of five kids. I've been married for almost 26 years and still in the honeymoon phase. When I'm not on the mountains wandering, I'm usually quilting or looking at the stars. So can you tell me, Jen, what got you started in wandering?
Well, I pretty much have been wandering since I can remember. My mom said as soon as I started walking, I was going anywhere I could go. I climbed everything I could climb. And she always had to keep an eye on me, even in the grocery stores and especially in department stores where I'd like to hide underneath the rounds of clothing.
Why do you like to wander?
It is literally, for me, wandering is not a want, it is a need. It is where I find space to think or just that place of just being, and it's just what it is for me.
All right. Where do you usually go to wander?
Since we live in Utah Valley here, I like to wander all along the Wasatch Front, mostly. Any of the canyons and valleys here are just on the hillside. Just set me out there and I'll find a way to go. Or along the coast of Utah Lake. A lot of people don't know that is where we live. We have both a lake and a mountain really close. Like in 5 minutes of my house, I could be either. So we're super lucky that way.
We are really lucky to live where we do.
It's pretty awesome. So Christine, tell me about you. When did you start wandering?
I have always enjoyed being outside, kind of like you. When I had surgery about 6 years ago, I knew I needed to start walking, but I was also afraid to. So Jen started walking me a couple days a week. Yes, we laugh about it now.
You can call me for professional walking services.
But then one day you said, how do you feel about a hike? And I thought, okay, I can do that. It was Battle Creek in the ice.
You remember. Oh my gosh, I don't.
And that was the first day I thought, how brave I am following her.
Well, the thing that you guys don't know is now Christine goes everywhere. And sometimes when I'm hiking with her, she's like jamming up the hill. And she's got super long legs and she's super athletic now. And I'm kind of like, ah. So the student has exceeded the master.
I think we're pretty equal. Yeah, because you're more adventurous. I do follow you everywhere.
We make a good team because we have that balance, I think. I guess you wandered the same places.
And so. I pretty much follow Jen anywhere she goes. And sometimes she'll say, how do you feel about going over here? And I say, I'll follow you anywhere. We know that's true.
I'm trying to get Christine to tell me where she wants to go because sometimes I'm just like, my brain is like, bleh, you know. Anyway.
And I think the reason I like to wander is I love the sounds of nature. There's a field that we like to go to that has a certain hum. And it feels like you can hear nature just being itself. But that's the very basic of it. It's just this hum of nature.
That is beautiful and such a perfect description of part of the things that you discover when you wander. So thank you, Christine.
The title of our podcast is Feathers and Bones, and that's the name of the blog. The name came about totally by accident the other day while we were hiking. We found some feathers and some bones. And I said to Jen, wouldn't that be a great blog name, Feathers and Bones? And she said,
and all things lost and found in Mother Nature's kitchen sink. And just like that, boom, we had it. So we were really grateful. Thank you, mountains.
That's right.
Questions answered.
I think the mountains show that sometimes that's where we get our creativity, is in the peace up there when your brain can really have a moment to unwind from the busy life and think.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk a little bit, just briefly, about what are some of the things we actually find in Mother Nature's kitchen sink. And in further blogs and podcasts, we will go deeper into these subjects. But a lot of times, of course, we find absolutely physical items such as feathers and bones, which are quite interesting in of themselves because you find all kinds of bones and all kinds of feathers. Christine, what are we always finding on the mountain?
Turkey feathers.
Yes, turkey feathers are beautiful. So for those of you who are thinking about turkeys as being kind of a dull bird, they have one of the most beautiful feather patternings out there with iridescence, all kinds of colors and patterns. They're one of my favorite feathers to find.
What else did we see on the mountain? Deer legs.
I think one winter we found like 12 deer legs, and we kept saying we were going to make a calendar
because
we
found. I still think we should do it. It could be on the blog. Look for our future merch site or Legs of the Mountain.
That's right. Because we did find a moose leg and an elk leg. There's just legs everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, man. Those moose and elk legs, the big, big giant legs. You know the difference when you see a deer and moose leg. We also find skulls, which are quite interesting. A lot of deer. And then elk, but I also have found bobcat and fox, coyote. I have yet to see a cougar, but they're a little more difficult to find because they usually die in caves. But I'm always on the lookout. I have a mink. I have all kinds of skulls.
I did find that one. I think it was some kind of a rat, but
Yeah. Little rat bones or...
Oh, and the snake one we found out by the red tail feather.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I love bones and I love feathers, so that's one of the reasons why that name of the blog really resonated, because two of my favorite things. But we also find other things that aren't so native to the hills, and one of the things I think is interesting is we find various clothing items, and a lot of times for some reason in every little ravine there'll be one sock. I don't know why one sock, but we can talk about that later.
A lot of hats and sunglasses too, which I figure... The trees just take from people
trees
as they wander by.
They do. They love to take your hats and sunglasses. I know they do it. They've done it to me many times. And then we also find sometimes, of course, smashed up computers and...
A lot of balloons. The balloons fly off into the atmosphere and then come back down and get caught in the trees in the mountains.
Yeah. And we're going to go into one of the blogs will be about this giant purple balloon that is incredible. And it's a whole story. And I have a video clip for that you guys will love. There's also these structures that we find out there, most of them human-made, and they are what I termed hobotats. And there are a variety of hobotats, from very primitive to quite extensive and elaborate, with little toilet paper holders, and I mean, it's crazy.
There's even that hobotat up Provo Canyon that someone was residing in for so long that Provo Canyon came and gave him an eviction notice and said that they were not allowed to camp there.
Right.
And
yeah,
so
he had a screen even. He had the screen so that you couldn't see it for a while from the...
Yeah.
From
it was pretty creative.
It was. And I always wonder, you know, what drives people to live up there. I want to live up there, so that's mainly my drive, is like, how do I do this? And some of those hobotats, I always take notes, because if it comes down to it, I know where I'm going.
We did find a hobotat at Big Springs. I'm not sure if it's a hobotat or if it's just something that people have built for fun, but there's that little chest there that has...
Yeah, it's quite a big structure.
It's tarped off, so it's probably pretty waterproof.
Yeah, it has a frying pan. It has all kinds of things in there. You can just go stay in that one. So it's pretty cool, and it has kind of a little, almost like a geocache where people can record their experiences, and actually it's quite beautiful to read.
Yeah, there's some playing cards and the applesauce package.
That's right. Applesauce, I don't know how old it is, but maybe it'll save your life one day.
That's right.
There's also a bunch of other odd structures, and we can talk about that another time, but sometimes they're quite mysterious, which I think is very fascinating as to how and why some of these things get built, and there's different viewpoints you can look at for that, but we may touch on that another time. Of course, we find flora and fauna abundantly, so anything from like a butterfly to owls to, like we said, I haven't seen a cougar yet, but... Christina had an almost experience at the lake. I think that would make a great section one day.
Well, I'll definitely have to talk about that one day. I was out there with my daughter, and that was terrifying. Yeah. We always say making memories.
Yes, it's interesting. The animals, it's their place, so you never know what you're going to come across. Most of the time, it's deer and chipmunks and squirrels.
Skunks.
This last summer, Christina and I had the amazing pleasure of watching a clutch of baby owls that were down low, and we saw them several nights in a row and watched and observed as their mom and dad interacted with them. That was really cool. They were great horned.
Yeah, but also the flora. Sometimes I think I find things in the mountain by accident, and then I discover later that was stinging nettle that I hit with my leg.
Oh,
when I tell Jen, I'm like, oh, my leg is itching and it hurts. So some of the plants I've learned to identify the wrong way, but I have learned a lot about the plants of the mountain, which ones are edible, which ones to avoid.
Yes, I think we'll have a whole section on that, because I think we could go on about the flora and fauna. I feel the same. I have a extreme dislike to poison ivy, of which there didn't used to be so many down here, but now in one of the canyons I hike, there's a bunch growing, and I'm like super thrilled about it.
I have a love-hate relationship with scrub oak. Right? It rips up my clothing, but I do also think it's kind of fun.
It is, and the scrub oak, I think, is one of the most predominant trees, especially in the lower hills, and it's a really unique variety of oak that grows, and it grows in these big plots, and sometimes you'll be in a bunch of baby scrub oak and think you know where you're going, and then all of a sudden you're in the parent scrub oak, and then you're just bushwhacking, and it's just...
And then there's acorns, and you think it's so cute, and then your clothes are...
That's right, your clothes are ripped, your sunglasses are gone, and your hats probably too.
And maybe that one sock in the ravine.
The oaks are laughing, and yeah, they've thrown your sock in the ravine. It's them, I know it's them.
Probably.
But of course, we also have firs and maples, we have elder trees, we have birch...
Junipers,
which is one of my favorites. Sitting under a juniper tree, nothing can go wrong in the world, I'm convinced, except for when you sit on the sappy part of it, which I've done, and I've thanked it for kissing me with its lovely golden sap.
That's right.
And I've learned how to get sap out of clothes and hair. So be thorough with that, though, because eventually sometimes you'll find this one little piece you never got, and like 2 days later, you're brushing your hair, you washed your hair, and you have this little hard knot, and it's like more juniper.
Yeah, sap.
It's all good. Smells good. We talk a little bit about like how you not only find like physical objects, but there's non-physical things out there. And one of the biggest one is the sense of peace, or that numinous place of being where you can't describe it, but it is real. And I think that being in contact with nature is one of the best places to feel connected to something bigger.
It's like meditating for your whole body, because the sound from those meadows, it has that hum, and it feels like you're in that moment of creation, really, like you're sitting in there in nature, and it feels like you feel really at one with nature in that moment.
It's true. It's just such a beautiful place of being, and I think if you allow yourself to wander, which is what I talk about actually my first blog, so hopefully you'll go back and read it. It really touches on why wandering is sometimes better than hiking or destination hiking. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's a great place to go. But when you wander, you're essentially letting go of all the things of the agendas. And when you can get to that space of letting go of agenda or idea of where you want to go, is when you really open up to hear that hum or to feel that hum. And like, you don't really have to even go very far. You can just walk and sit on a rock. I do that sometimes. It's like sometimes I say I'm going out and I just sit on a rock for an hour.
Before we go on, do you want to tell me your favorite thing that you've ever found in the mountain?
Oh, that is so hard. You know, I've been thinking about this ever since I wrote this down on our script for this podcast. Gosh, there are so many. I can't even, it's hard to say. I mean, the giant purple balloon is just, it's fresh in my mind because it wasn't that long ago. And it's such a shockingly surprising story how this thing just wafted up to us from nowhere. And it was huge. It's literally like 5 foot around purple balloon helium floating around in the mountains by itself. So that one was astonishing. So, I mean, that's just fresh in my mind. I can't, there's so many, but I know you have a specific one.
My favorite is probably the Vicks glass jar from like the 20s, but it's melted, like it survived a forest fire, which was really fun to find.
Yeah. And that is true. I mean, like, it's so neat when you're in the mountains too, because you do find these things sometimes that belong to a different...
A little piece of history.
A little piece to history. I mean, a lot of times you come across these cars that somehow have rolled down the mountains that are like old cars or... I mean, it's so fascinating. It's like, oh, you just want to know what is happening and sit and be with that for a minute. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right. So I think that covers most of the podcast for today, but we just want to kind of give you a taste and an overview of what you can expect coming up in the future. We have some hopes that, you know, maybe that as this thing gets rolling, we can have a guest host come in to talk more about the different subjects, and even maybe some biologist or cervidologist, I think, or deer biologist. I learned that word the other day, and now I sound important when I say it. So I am knowledgeable, but I don't know what I'm doing. Talk, Christine.
Maybe even someone to talk about plants, because I did learn, like in Boy Scouts, which plants are which of the pine needles you can eat, and which ones, one of them tastes like lemons, so it's pretty pleasant to eat.
Excellent. So, I love that idea.
I always think it would be nice to know what I can eat if I'm ever stranded up there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and there is actually quite a lot. I mean, every spring, Christine knows I pick the wild onions and chew on them because they smell so good and they're so tender and juicy and sweet.
And the elderberries, and the choke cherries. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we'll include recipes, because I actually make a lot of stuff from the things I gather. So I will give you some recipes for, like, elderberry syrup that's really good for medicine. And I do a lot with berries, like service berries and all kinds of things we can find out that they can be eaten. And so, of course, that was the first dinner buffet, right? Before there was anything.
It's true.
So there is a lot of edible food out there, not just for the creatures that continue to live out there and are not crazy enough to come live in a square box. But, you know, for us too, because we're actually the same. We're still part of that. We just kind of live in a, we separated ourselves a bit, but we're still there.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. You can catch us at our blog at www.feathersandbones.blog or on Twitter at Feathers and Bones. And as always, happy, healthy wandering.
This podcast features the song Bloom by Tazar, available under a Creative Command BYSA Attribution Share Alike license.